Hare Krishna.
Any question from anyone?
Yes, Maharaj, I've got questions from our viewers.
Yes.
And it's about how to offer everything you've got to your guru. Because sometimes on the path, we might feel that we got something very valuable, like new understandings and new feelings. And also we are taught all glories are going to the gurus. So how should we behave properly to avoid keeping those things to ourselves, to getting too much proud, but to offer it to the gurus?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's this saying in the song of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Kanaka Kamini Pratishta Bhagini. It's talking about the some things that are obstructions on the path, devotion for the aspiring servitor. In general, these three, Kanak, Kamini, and Pratishta. Kanak means wealth. Kamini means women, and Pratishta, name and fame. So we're told, and succinctly, that wealth, by extension, Lakshmi, is meant for Narayan. The Kamini, Lady Krishna, right? Krishna's Rasaraj, his specialty that distinguishes him from Vishnu or any other is this Rasavilas. And Pratishta, name and fame for Guru. And wealth, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, is that? Kama shanindriya priti labu jiveta yavata jivasya tato jigyasa. But so dharmak svanushtitak pungsang visvak senokatasya not pariyed yadavitam swamayiva gevalam. I mean, in this part of the Bhagavatam, saying really, in terms of wealth, we only need the minimum. Right? Rupa Goswami is saying, Atyahara Prayasacha Prajalpo Niyamagraha. If we collect more than necessary, if we endeavor to the extreme for wealth, mundane facility, that it will spoil our attempts at devotion. It's a distraction. So, Srila Prabhupada would like to invoke the saying, simple living and high thinking, right? Which is one of the hallmarks of Vedic culture. Sometimes people wonder why, if it was such advanced civilization, why it appears materially less advanced than now. Well, one simple explanation is on account of being inner-directed and engaged in internal spiritual culture, they did not use their intelligence and outer directedness toward developing technology and spending their time trying to make a better sanitation system. They're so inner-directed that they're giving the least amount of energy toward the external. And we find this in the literature they produce, that we are unable to produce anything comparable. Today, it's Vedic literature, Puranic literature, the Upanishads, etc., are not the product of some primitive, undeveloped people, but rather the great sages, the rishis, who are the research scholars of the subjective realm. So they're more interested in that which is subjective than the objective world. So we'll find in some instances less development on the objective side. And same thing in principle and spiritual culture. To not spend the bulk of one's energy to accumulate mundane facilities. Prahlad Maharaj, in the Prahlad Charit, there's some analysis of how much time one has in life. How much time is spent eating, sleeping, taking care of the body, etc. Even by this type of analysis, we see there's a very small percentage comparatively, remainder, left for that can be used in spiritual culture, right? So it's a question of prioritizing things, right? Atato Brahma Jigyasa is also priority, prioritizing, saying, now that you've achieved the human form of life, how should you spend your energy with the implying that before that, we have ahara nidraya baya maitunam cha, eating, sleeping, reproduction, defense, all of these things are possible in species other than human life. So what distinguishes human life, human civilization, human culture from animal civilization or animal life? Dharmena hina pashubhi samana. What distinguishes human life is the ability to engage in internal culture. Really, that's what spiritual, it's synonymous with spiritual culture, right? That was as subjective. And even in its, secular representations, like literature, art, things like that, it's all really subjective, internal. Guru Maharaj likes to quote one poet who says, if we think of the heart, which is the core of our consciousness, as a field to cultivate, just as we have so many fields here, they're planting some seeds, growing some kind of vegetables, rice, whatever it might be. He said, what sort of substance can the heart, if cultivated properly, what can the heart yield? Tene Brahma Hrida. It comes back to that. The heart-to-heart transaction. Bhakti Lata Bij. We're being bombarded with varieties of conceptions, mainly through humanistic sloganeering that permeates advertising, right, in the modern world. As the playwright, one of the most famous playwrights of the 20th century, observed, he said, as previously people looked to playwrights and artists as arbiters of reality, those who could give some guidance to people what to cultivate, what to understand in life, what's the purpose of life, right? He said, almost casually, acknowledging how far modern culture has moved away from that, he said, most people get their concepts from advertising in the modern world, not from great works of literature, from these great writers and thinkers. He said, they get most of their concepts from advertising. I mean, it's humorous, if not sad or pathetic, but true. So, and what is advertising about? Consumption as a means of fulfillment. Right. What is the promise of the internet? Total access to all things at all times. That's what it promises. What is mobile computing? Total access to all things at all times, with the underlying understanding that that will give you fulfillment or happiness. You will become realized. Self-realization, self-fulfillment, self-actualization will be achieved through consumption as a consumer, right? Which is antithetical to the culture of devotion. So whenever a devotee or a neophyte devotee, an aspiring servitor, mistakenly takes the route of envisioning spiritual achievement as some sort of object to be attained by them, then a disastrous reversal has taken place. So if rather on the subject of pratishtha, where we said the money, Lakshmi for Narayan, lady for Krishna, pratishtha, name and fame for Guru, if they think that they, by the accumulation of spiritual knowledge or understanding, that this will, they'll get the name and fame of being a Krishna Das or a devotee, that'll be disastrous for their spiritual development. Even Mahaprabhu expresses this in the famous reiteration of what comes from Srimati Radharani. Na prema gandasti dharapi mehuro krandami so bhagya param prakashitam. He says, I don't have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna prema, but to speak of a drop. And then he says, but if someone says, well, we see though, you're crying torrents of tears as if the Ganga is streaming out of your eyes. He said, no, I show that so that people will think I'm a devotee. It's all a show. Why is he saying that? And then people will think I'm a devotee of Krishna. It's mentioned in the Ramananda Samvad that there's no greater fame than being having the reputation of being a devotee of Krishna. Right? What do we see in the case of Madhavendra Puri? Rather than being subjected to the adoration of the public that he's a great devotee of Krishna, he fled in the middle of the night after Kirchor Gopinath. The deity stole the kir, and he realized, oh, everyone, they'll be thinking, as the pujari said, who is that fortunate devotee named Madhavendra Puri? The word will spread that he has devotion to Krishna. It says what? Sudurlabha, Kleshagni, Subhada, Moksha, Lagutakrit, Sandrananda, Visheshatma, Sri Krishna, Karshini, Chasa. Right? Such a rare achievement. Because devotion proper is capable of attracting Krishna himself. Krishna, who is all attractive, right? He's irresistibly, inconceivably attractive. He is attracted to devotion. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam commentary of Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, just in passing, why the Brajagopis are superior to the yogis and the gyanis. They say, well, through yoga practice, some are able to meditate, think of Krishna. Some gyanis also. But what's the difference? The gopis admittedly, ahushchitena lina nava padaravindam yogeshware hridibhijantam agada bodhai. Say, we're not yogis, we're not gyanis, we're just simple, fallen householders. Why are they highlighted or mentioned by Chakravarti Thakur in this thing, saying, because the difference is, yes, yogis and jnanis may be able to think of Krishna, but Krishna is thinking of the Braja Gopis. That's the difference. He's meditating on them. You say, well, they do these fantastic things and they have a glimpse of Krishna. Yeah, that is a wonderful, extraordinary thing. It's mentioned in the Brahma Sangita, what does it say? Bayora tapi manaso munipungavanam pantastu kotisha davat sarasam pragamyo bayora tapi manaso munipungavanam. Prapadachinchi tatve govinda mari purusham tamahamajamin. But Krishna, he's thinking of the Braja Gopis. When Mahaprabhu met Raghupati Upadhyay, right, we're told that Mahaprabhu wanted to understand from him what he thought was the best thing in the world, the most spiritual thing, the highest concept of God, the highest form of divinity, the highest pastimes of divinity, everything he wanted to know, the best, highest. Right? What is that? And what's the best path in approaching him? Everything. He's cutting to the chase. He wants to know, tell me, without a lot of explanation, the answer to these questions. Right? So it means, in a summary form, what's been expressed in one place in 100,000 slokas, how do you express that in one sloka? Guru Maharaj points out, Mahabharata, Brahma Gayatri. 100,000 slokas in one place, and then one sloka. Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 slokas. Gayatri, Basya, Rupo, Sho, Vedartha, Paribrimhita. Everything concentrated in one. Right? So, Raghupati Upadhyay, he's actually quoting himself. Saying, I've written some slokas in this regard, right? And the first one being, what is it? Srutim itari, smritim itari, parampante bhajatam bita, bhava bita, ahang iha nandam bande yasyalande param brahma. Very beautifully, he can summarize everything and condense it to a very fine point. As Srila Gurudev once said, why Bhaktivinoda Thakur can do this? When he says all of the Vedas proclaim that Krishna is the property of Radharani and her girlfriends, how can he make such an audacious statement? He said, because he has a view of the whole. Because he can see the entire thing. He can express it so succinctly, so very beautifully. Raghupati Upadhyay is saying, well, the Shrutis, they describe one thing, right? The Shruti, the best of what is to be heard. What does Rupa Goswami say? Shruti Moli Ratnamala, about the whole name, the supreme sound. He said, the Shrutis, they must say that through sound culture, you'll get everything. Otherwise, they'd be committing suicide. Why? Because they're sound personified. So they're saying, yes, actually sound is the ultimate thing. But of all sounds, Nikila Shruti Moli Ratnamala, the crown jewel of all spiritual sounds is Sri Krishna Nam Sankirtan, the holy name of Krishna. Right? So he's saying, Shrutis, they've given some advice. Shruti Bir Vrimrigyam, they're pointing us in a particular direction. Right? That is their seva, right? To indicate which direction to go, to proceed in one's search for Sri Krishna. But as Uddhava says, you know, arjapatam jihitva bejur mukunda parivim shrutibir bimrigyam. But the Braja Gopis, what the Vedas are pointing in a particular direction, they live in that zone. That's their zone, their domain. Their inhabitants of that highest domain that the Vedas are pointing to. So the Shruti, the Smriti, and they're giving so much advice. What is the main concern of people? Is dealing with mortality, death, right? Every day, every media, newspaper, internet, homepage, whatever it is. And you can look now, look tomorrow, and look the following, look every day, and you'll see what's prominently placed there is death, right? And a new iPhone to give you some hope. Yes, we're all going to die, but did you see the new iPhone? So you can pick up your new iPhone and say, oh, did you hear what happened? Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? Yeah, it's going to happen to all of us. Can you hear me? Oh, yeah, I thought you could. It's death. Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gacchanti, jamalayam, shesha, stavra, ichchanti, kim ascharja, atakparam. Nothing more wonderful than this. We live in the world of mortality. All around us, there's evidence of death. It's in the news every day, being blasted at us. Still, somehow, we're thinking, not I. It won't happen to me, at least not yet. We go, no, I mean, I know it'll happen eventually, but not yet. Right? I won't be in that plane that's blown out of the sky or get that disease. This mosquito could be bringing that to me right now. Oh, no, that mosquito, he won't have the fatal disease. No. In so many ways, we're avoiding dealing with this. So he says, bhava-bita. That's what it means. The bhava-sagar means the, in this sense, not the world of the divine ecstasy, but the world of death. So he's saying, so that's why people, I mean, to be truthful, he's saying, really, they're getting scriptural advice and otherwise how to try and escape death. We do, whether we do it through religion or science or technology or whatever it is, we're trying to avoid this inevitability. Right? Yeah. So he says, but what I want to know, and so people think like, oh, you mean, so if I worship Krishna, then I'll become deathless? Right? These are mundane motives for spiritual culture pursuit. He said, but what I want to know, ahang iha nandam bande yasyalande param brahma. People are, they're approaching the param brahma to get this, that, and the other thing, according to what they perceive as self-interest, shreya, prayer, what they think is in their self-interest. So, but what I want to know is, what did Nanda Maharaj do to get the param brahma that everyone's seeking to crawl in his courtyard as a child? That fascinates me. That I find compelling. Nandakim akarod brahman, Shreya Eva Mahodayam, Yashodava Mahabhaga, Papo Yasya Stanam Hari. When it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, only our acharyas, they can make these type of comparative analysis. Just, but if we could say, for the sake of reminding us that the spiritual world is dynamic, growing, and full of gradation. Yashoda va Mahabhaga. And Yashoda, by extension, is even more fortunate. Papo yasya stanam hari. That the Supreme Lord is sitting on her lap, sucking her breast. So Raghupati Upadhyay, in one sloka, he's gone from the Shrutis, to Raga Bhakti, Prema Bhakti, in one sloka. Shruti Smriti Raga Bhakti. Why? How can he do that? He has a vision, a comprehensive vision of the whole. Right? So, Mahaprabhu liked hearing this very much. Then he said, any more? Do you have any more of this quality of substance? And he said, yeah, there's more. But I don't know if there's anyone qualified to hear it. And if I could find someone qualified, would they believe it? It's unbelievable. It's inconceivable. I mentioned in China, in Shenzhen, we saw that movie, The Life of Pi. Right? And in that, without getting into all the details, the person says, at a critical point for understanding the whole, he says, I'm going to tell you a story that will make you believe in God. Right? Then so many other things are shown that people may forget. That he said, I'm going to tell you a story that will make you believe in God. And then after he tells this very fantastic story, and particularly he's telling that to some insurance company agents, because he needs to file a claim. And they're saying, the story you just told us is unbelievable. I can almost guarantee you're not going to get any money. No one's going to believe it. You won't get be able to file a claim and get some remuneration. And he said, well, then I could tell you another story. So he tells a similar story to that. And they go, well, this is believable. This story we can submit and you'll probably get something. You know, you'll be nicely rewarded, compensated. He said, all right. But I just wanted to ask you a question, though. Of the two stories I told you, which one do you prefer? I said, oh, we prefer the unbelievable one. That was really something. Yeah, we prefer that. So that's what he's saying. That I will tell you a story that'll make you believe in God. I mean, the story of God is achintya. It is inconceivable or unbelievable in the sense that the word is a modifier. It means astonishingly wonderful. That's what we mean in English when we say unbelievable. It no longer means I can't believe that. That may have been what it meant originally. Now it's an intensifier to express astonishment. Right? If you give me something, I go, wow, this is unbelievable. It doesn't mean, oh, I don't believe you just gave me that. That's not what it means. It means astonishingly wonderful. That is the story of God in general and Krishna conception specifically. So Raghupati Upadhyay, kam prati kataitam ishe samprati pratitam ayatu gopa tanaya kunje gopa viduti vitang brahma Who will believe me if I tell them, who I told you before, that Parabrahma crawling in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj? Well, in his most enchanting, charming, sweet, and irresistibly attractive pastimes, he's the Param Brahma, he's Gopa Tanaya Kunje, Gopa Viduti Vitam Brahma. He's hunting the Braja Gopis in the Kunja in Vrindavan. Right, the forest bowers of Vrindavan. Who could I tell this to? And if I could find someone to tell them, would they believe me? So Srila Guru Maharaj, he wrote an article in the Gaudiya Math time in which he alluded or directly mentioned this pastime, Mahaprabhu inquiring from Raghupati Upadhyay and this sloka coming. And he said, what it points to indirectly is that, or by inference, that with the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then everyone will hear about it and be given the opportunity to believe that what was previously unattainable, anarpita charim chirat korne avatirna kalo samarpayita munutajvalava swabhakti sriyam. And Mahaprabhu will come and distribute this to everyone. Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitana Namne Gaura Trishaya Namaha. So Mahaprabhu was very happy to hear that. Then what do you say is the supreme abode, the supreme form of the Lord, the supreme age of the Lord, and the highest rasa? And he says, Shyamam eva param rupam puri marupuri vara kaishora deyam adyo rasa raso rasa. That the supreme form of the Lord, Shyama Sundar Krishna, Shyama eva param rupam, the supreme abode, Mathura Vrindavan, the supreme age, Kishore, as we told, that's when Krishna is at his most beautiful and manifests his pastimes with Srimati Radharani and the Braja Gopis. And what did he say? Adya Rasa, Madhura Rasa is the supreme rasa. That Mahaprabhu, he is saying, any display from a devotee to try and impress others with devotional achievement is a type of show or cheating. So what is the proper response? If some spiritual wealth comes to the disciple, there's a famous sloka, one that says, as rare as it is to find the Satguru in this world, it's equally rare, if not rarer, to find a proper disciple, the proper recipient of that wealth. And what is that wealth mentioned then? It said, all the wealth in the world cannot repay the debt incurred by the disciple to get one word from Sri Guru. Right? What do we say? Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chite Te Koriya Aikya Arnako Iha Mane Asha. Srila Gurudev, Srila Govindamar said, one word from the lotus lips of Srila Guru Maharaj is sufficient to make us his slaves forever. So we are unable to repay the debt, so only by service. And if through that service some recognition comes to us, we pass that on to Guru, understanding that really, truly, it's a gift, right? Like Guru Maharaj says in his Prema Dhamma Stotram, Krishna Nama Siddhu Dhamma Dana Danya Sagaram, Dan Sagar, the ultimate gift. So it's being gifted or extended to us by the grace of Sri Guru, by the Guru Varga. If by proper reproduction and faithfulness and adherence to the representation of Krishna conception and extension to others, some recognition or praise comes our way, then to save us from the ego that I'm a devotee or an advanced devotee, we offer that acclaim, name and fame, recognition to the lotus feet of Sri Guru. And we see that in the case of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. He spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, but whenever praise came to him in that regard, he offered that to the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnav, always presenting himself as a humble servitor of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is the medium for expression of Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam. And he's saying that some higher power is making me write these things. Madan Mohan is using me to express these things. Jagai Madhai Hoite Murise Papishta Purise Rakita Hoite Murise Lagista. I'm more sinful than Jagai and Madhai, etc. Right? But by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, I'm being used as an instrument to express the pastimes of Mahaprabhu at the behest of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. So, name and fame are particularly, according to Guru Maharaj, difficult to detect. And they're the greatest enemy of the devotee. That is what is at the base of sahajya, imitationism. To imitate the ecstatic transformation of higher devotees, to give people the impression that one has devotion to Krishna. Whereas in Mahaprabhu's sloka, again reiterating what Radharani herself has expressed, na prema gandasti darapi mehro. I don't have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna prema, what to speak of a drop. Right? It's not a thing of this world. If one has Krishna prema, love for Krishna, then what did she say, and echoed in Mahaprabhu's sentiments? Separation will be impossible. The substance is so high, so wonderful, in Guru Maharaj's words, so heart-swallowing, that separation is not a possibility. If one were to become separated from it, they would die. So what's the proof you don't have it? You're alive. That's the devotional way of viewing these things. So it's what we're trying for is not something of this world. So then we're madmen. Right? As Mahaprabhu says to Ramananda, Ami ek bhutu tumi ditiya. I'm the first madman and you're the second one because you appreciate all of these things. So in this world, the pursuit of Krishna consciousness is like madness. But when this world vanishes, then we can perceive the value, the true wealth and value of Krishna consciousness. Any other question?
Sometimes that we might offend the Vaishnavas in our thinking, like in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the offense from the mind. How can they affect the soul? How is it connected to the soul?
Because we're interested in the seva world. So aparad, offenses to Vaishnava, is an obstruction for the servitor. That's what the soul is interested in, is serving. Right? So Rupa Goswami And the Upadeshamrita, which incidentally Gurumaharaj says really is Mahaprabhu expressing his conceptions through Rupa Goswami, says there that he gives a comparison that just as in the body, there might be some defect. Someone might be physically challenged in some particular way, right? As we do not see that as a disqualification, also to observe particular mentalities, we won't think that as being the root identity of a devotee, but rather to see them as a servitor. We know Guru Maharaj gave the example in the time of Saraswati Thakur that there were two devotees who did not appreciate one another, right, for whatever reason. And we're told that in a public setting, Srila Saraswati Thakur asked each one to praise the other one, right, to say something in their favor. So Guru Maharaj said, the only way they could do this was by looking to the Swaroop, right, to their servitor identity. Then they could express some praise. So we want to view our God brothers and God sisters as aspiring servitors, as recognized servitors of Guru and Vaishnav, and to see how they're serving, and if anything, if there's something we can learn from them to improve our own service aspirations, that'll be a healthy mentality. But if we look for their faults, then some blame, the same sort of blame will come and appear within us. Right? In one place, Guru Maharaj compares it to spitting in the wind. Right? You spit in the wind, it's going to come back on you. So if we become absorbed in finding faults with Vaishnavas, then those faults will appear within us as a reaction. No less than Srila Saraswati Thakur said, it is only that I am honeycombed with defects that I take the task of finding fault with others. That I could have spent my time serving the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnav. Instead, I spent that time finding fault with them. So, Vaishnav aparad is the obstruction on the path of devotion. We want to avoid that at all costs. Sometimes Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj would say, one of my faults is I believe everyone. He means to say, I believe in everyone. He'd rather be a believer than a disbeliever. He'd rather believe that whom he observes as a sincere, aspiring servitor of the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga, than be suspicious of them or doubt the sincerity of their intentions. Right? And concluding with saying that my religion is finding fault with myself. So the critical eye, it's natural, human, to be critical, but when we become aware that this is what we're doing, then it will be better to turn the critical eye inward, atma samiksha, and self-examination, and see what are our faults, our flaws, how we can improve. Any other question?
Goswami Maharaj,
yes.
I don't know if I can ask this question, but I was listening to the lecture one of the previous lectures, and you told that when gopis saw Mahaprabhu from a distance and they were concealed, they were proud of seeing him. And what was the occasion when he saw Mahaprabhu?
No, what I said was, quoting the Chaitanyastakam of Rupa Goswami, right? So we know that the from works like the Gora Gonodesha Dipikav Karni Kavi Karnapur and elsewhere, who are the principal devotees of Mahaprabhu? What is their position in Vrindavan? So in this context, they're seeing, remember, they occupy that position in Vrindavan, right? Rup, Sanatan, etc. Now they're seeing in Gaur Lila that Krishna has now, who is he? Radha Bhava Duti Subolita. He's now enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani. So that's giving some pride in their hearts that the wealth of their mistress, who means Srimati Radharani, that that position has been embraced by Krishna. It's quoting Sureshanam Durgam Gati Ati Shayan Upanishadam Muninam Sarvasam Panatapatalinam Madhurima Vinir Yasha Pashu Palam Bujadrusham Sat Chaitanya Kame Punarapidashor Yashatibadam. It's the second sloka of the Chaitanyastakam of Rupa Goswami and showing some gradation and what is very rarely glimpsed by the demigods, indicated in the Upanishads, etc. The Brajagopis know very well what this divine substance is and who the original personification and embodiment of that divine wealth is. It's their mistress, Srimati Radharani, and they're very happy and overwhelmed with joy to see that Krishna has embraced that position. That's the supreme triumph of devotion. Where the infinite comes under the control of the finite, and here, Krishna himself has embraced the position of a devotee. Sva bhaktevyam sudha nijabhajana mudra mupadishan. Hare Krishna. They're howling in agreement. Hare Krishna. It's in the Chaitanyastakam of Rupa Goswami. He's written three of them, right? So this is perhaps number one. 3, 8 sloka, like there's Shikshastakam, he wrote Chaitanyastakam. 8 slokas, but he did it 3 times. 3 different times. Yeah, so that's 24. But this particular verse is also found in the Adi Lila, chapter 4 of Chaitanya Charitamritam, which is a very significant chapter in understanding who is Mahaprabhu and what is his reason, internal reason for appearing in the world. We understand the external is given, Nam Sankirtan, but what is his internal reason for descending? External, Nam Sankirtan, the Yuga Dharma, but the internal reason. So that's a very important chapter. And there, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is quoting from various Chaitanyastakams of Rupa Goswami to, to corroborate the position that he's expressing there. Always using Sri Rupa as a authoritative reference. Hare Krishna.